Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
Last week, after it was all over with, and I sat down and went home and all that, I thought about all those things I was supposed to say, and I didn't. And so this morning, I can't remember what they were. Oh, man. We are in trouble if we're dependent upon ourselves. Huh?
You can't remember, I guess you weren't.
Amen. Okay, well, there is something I remembered, though. Turn in your Bible to the book of Jude. The book of Jude. And I really thought we were going to go a different direction today, but anyway, no apologies, just here it is. Jude, the first chapter of Jude, and verse number 14 and 15, and here's our text. Oh, before we do that, I said we weren't going to go. I really didn't think we were going to go this direction, and it was a different direction I wanted to do, and I realized I was doing the very thing that I complain about others doing. They take a word and then they preach on that word, and it's got nothing to do with the text. And the more I looked at it and thought about it, I said, you know what, we need to deal with the text. And so anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in there. We're going to deal with the text. Verse 14 and 15. It was also about these men that Enoch, in the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all, and to convict all the ungodly of their ungodly deeds, which they have done in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for preserving it all these years and giving it to us, Lord. We pray that we would handle it rightly and believe every word and every jot and tittle. We pray, Lord, that we would honor you by the preaching and the hearing of your word. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, where to begin? I mean, there's just so much to say here, and I'm just going to give you what I have. He says, I guess the main theme of this, of course, is judgment. And I know we talked about judgment last week, and so there's just a lot of judgment here. And so he says, "Behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones." Now, to execute judgment upon all. So that's what he's talking about. Isn't it interesting that God's had his eye on folks like this for a long, long time? Consider who the prophet was. The prophet, it says, is Enoch. And it says in the seventh generation from Adam. So, I mean, that wasn't long after the whole thing began. Also, too, the seventh from Adam, it's a confirmation that that list in Genesis is right. And it's also, it says that Enoch, it was the seventh from Adam, not the other one. or if there's any other Enochs, that's not the one. That's not the one who said this. It was Enoch. It says, so we can go straight. If we want to know anything about this prophet who prophesied this, we go straight to Genesis chapter 5. And it tells us who his daddy was, who his son was. Tells us a lot. Well, not too much, but we do have a fair amount of information about Enoch. He appears three times in the Bible. And I really wanted to talk about Enoch, but it's not what we're going to talk about. But his prophecy was simply that, behold, the Lord came. Mine says came. The King James says cometh. Some of the other translations say is coming, but the sense is actually he said it as if it was a done deal. And there's a certain amount of urgency involved in it also, that if it hasn't happened already, it's going to happen at any second. Behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all. So this was being prophesied back in the before the flood. And it there are similar prophecies throughout the Bible. You got David talking about it in the Psalms. Here's just a few of them. Psalm 37, Psalm 98, Psalm 149. Just to name a few, where he talks about the judgment of both the righteous and the wicked, and oftentimes, the wicked are judged in the presence of the righteous. And we find the same thing in the New Testament. Jesus talked about that very thing as well. And we're all familiar with that. Here's a passage in John chapter 5. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. It says the Lord cometh with tens of thousands of his holy ones. It has committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. See, that's particularly aimed at the Jews, because they always honored the Father. But he says, no, not if you don't honor his Son. You can't honor the Father unless you honor his Son. Verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And I'm going to skip. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto a resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto a resurrection of damnation. Here's another one in Matthew chapter 25. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all the nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on his left hand. So be careful which direction you go when you get there. And then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, not on your right hand. I always make that distinction. Anyway, doesn't matter. He's going to separate us, he says. He's going to separate you. You can't choose which side on that day. It's too late. And he shall, and then shall the king say to them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And he'll, I mean, there's a lot more in that passage, but the thing is, there is a day of judgment. And it says in this passage, and all the holy angels are with him. And then he shall say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous shall go unto life eternal. But here's another passage that talks about the same thing, but it's kind of more, I'm going to say, related to our stuff in Jude, because it says, beware of the false prophets who come to you in this is Matthew chapter 7. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You know them by their fruits. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness or iniquity. And I've got, you who practice lawlessness. We look back in here to Jude, chapter 15. It says he came to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly of their ungodly deeds, which they have done in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. You see the repetition there. You see the repetition there. These folks are ungodly. There's nothing godly in them. It's interesting that the person who is making this prophecy is Enoch. Like I said, Enoch is mentioned three times in the Bible, and I want us to look at the passage there in Hebrews chapter. Which chapter was it that he was found in? It's Hebrews chapter 11. He's in the Hall of Faith. Hebrews chapter 11. It's interesting. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, it says, and he was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And then it goes on to say right there, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see, apart from faith, these were ungodly, ungodly, ungodly. It says it four times, ungodly. And I want us to see here in the passage concerning the prophet, without faith, it is impossible. It's impossible to please God. Proverbs chapter 21 says, a high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. The plowing. What's wrong with plowing? If not coupled with faith, it's sin. Romans chapter 7. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present in me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Jude verse 19 talks about these men as devoid of the Spirit. Now, how, if they're devoid of the Spirit, how could they possibly have faith? And then, consequently, how could they possibly be pleasing to God? The truth of the matter is, apart from faith, it doesn't matter what you do. It is ungodly. It's not godly because God's prescription says walk by faith. Man's prescription might be walk by good deeds, walk by good stuff. I'm going to be nice to my neighbor. I'm going to be blah, 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 blah. And maybe all my good will outweigh my bad. Apart from faith, you're good and you're bad. There's no distinction. I try to be a good husband. I try to be a good father. I try to be a good employee, whatever. The Bible says apart from faith. There's a passage in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 18, 9 through 14, it says, and he told this, speaking of Jesus, he told this parable to certain ones who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. And two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax gatherer. And the Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself, God, I thank thee that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, and even like this tax gatherer. I fast twice a week and I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax gatherer, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, but he who humbles himself shall be exalted. Romans chapter 14 tells us very clearly, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Don't think we understand. I think, you know, I had a good day today. I don't think I sinned not once. Then you don't understand sin. These men are ungodly men, and they do their ungodly deeds in an ungodly way because there's something missing in them that prevents them from being that. And that missing element, as we've seen, that missing element is faith in God. Faith is an essential element to walking with God. And that's another part of Enoch. The other place that he's mentioned is in Genesis chapter 5, and he's the man who says, and Enoch walked with God. Anyway, that's a whole nother story. But at the risk of oversimplifying it, faith is simply taking God at his word. Abraham believed God, and it says it was reckoned unto him as righteousness. His ungodliness was transformed. Was Abraham then righteous? Well, not in and of himself, but he had the righteousness of another. Jesus said that Abraham rejoiced to see his day and was glad. He looked forward to Christ, who would be his substitute, who would be his righteousness. I don't know exactly how he understood that, but I know he did. Our substitute, Jesus Christ, has taken all of our sin, all our ungodliness upon himself, and somehow or another imparted his righteousness to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Do we need faith? If you want to be pleasing to God, you do. Where do you get it? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I mean, it's available right now. So today, if you hear his voice, of course, harden not your heart. Cry out to the one who hears. In that passage in Hebrews, by faith Enoch was translated, it says. Translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation... Did you notice a repetition there? Translation. That before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So by faith, Enoch was, it says, he was translated. He was, what does that mean? Some translations say he was taken up. But he was transported, he was transformed from this world to the next. That's what happened to him. He was changed somehow, he was changed from flesh and blood until into his glorified body in the presence of the Lord. And I'm thinking it probably happened in the twinkling of an eye. He was translated, it says, that he should not see death. You know, Jesus said something very, very similar to that. He said, truly I say unto you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. So, in a similar way, you know, in old times, God did stuff that was, wow, miraculous. Like the swallowing up of Korah and his followers by the earth. Like the great exodus out of Egypt and crossing the Red Sea and all that. Right here, here's a man who didn't die. He didn't taste of death. He was translated from one day Enoch and God were out for a walk. It got toward the end of the evening and the sun was getting low, and God said, "Hey, Enoch, we're a lot closer to my house than we are to yours. Why don't you just come home with me?" And off he went. But we have a similar, that was an actual occurrence in time, but it's just an illustration of what God does to those who walk with him today and who have faith. By faith, Enoch was translated. By faith, we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, you'll never taste of death. Maybe not physical death, but there's a death that's way worse than that. Way more real than that. The physical death that we experience, saved and lost, is only for a season. And after that, there's a resurrection. And there's a judgment that he's talking about here in Jude that Enoch's warning everybody about. There's a judgment coming where he's going to judge all men. Oh, but we, by faith, who trust in Christ, the Bible says we have been. We've been translated from death unto life, darkness into light. There's a passage there in Colossians, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and there's that word again, hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. So, Enoch was just an illustration of, I'm going to say, the reality of what we have in Christ as believers. These men that Jude is talking about, they didn't know anything about that. These people that Enoch was talking about, they didn't know anything about faith. But yet he called them, he told them about it. And I'm telling you, that happened, I don't know, thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. But the call to repent and believe is still the same today. The call and the power of God to translate lost sinners like Enoch is still just as powerful today. I guess sometimes we just don't see it. Going back to Jude chapter 1 verse 14. You know, I always say chapter, but it's only one, so Jude verse 14. The Lord is coming. The Lord came with mine says many thousands. I think the King James says 10,000s with an S on the end. The word there is just myriad. Just thousands of thousands. Just a whole bunch. We don't even know how many. The Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly. What about the others? I thought he came to judge all. Huh? you know, it's appointed unto men once to die, it says. And after that, the judgment. So Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear the second time for salvation without reference of sin to those who eagerly await him. Those who are in Christ, they've already been judged. They're judged in Christ. He took the penalty of our judgment. I can't stress this enough. And when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Amen. Hallelujah. He's coming the second time without reference to sin to those who are his. We have received the righteousness of Christ. But the bad thing about it is, these folks, these ungodly, they don't have an advocate with the Father. They didn't need a lawyer. They're going to plead their own case. They don't have an intercessor. They don't have hope. So they've decided, it's a Calvinist church. Got to be careful about using that word. No, the decision is real. But they've chosen to bear the full weight of their burden themselves. All their ungodliness, all their ungodly deeds that they've done in such an ungodly way. And they might have thought they were doing okay. They might have thought they were doing good. But it wasn't coupled with faith. All those words that it talks about those ungodly sinners who've spoken ungodly things against him. And all those words, the Bible says that we'll give an account for every idle word. Oh, I thank God for substitution. I thank God for Jesus. Otherwise, I'm in a bad place. God is going to use those very words against him on that great and terrible day of the Lord. I'm going to read this and quit. I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it. From those who face... I'm going to start over again. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now there's a whosoever right there for the whosoever crowd. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Lord, did we not? Did we not? And the difference between those two was grace and faith. That's it. Abraham believed God. It was reckoned unto him as righteousness. I guess they didn't think they needed either one. You know, the Bible says that it's not the healthy who need a doctor. It's the sick. Folks, we need a great physician. You are one sick puppy. I'm one sick puppy. The sooner we come to grips with that, the sooner we realize our need, the sooner we can cry out for help. Though that was the problem. That's been the problem with men, obviously since the beginning of time. They didn't know they had a terminal illness. And Jude is telling about Enoch, who is telling about the great judgment to come even before the flood. You think, well, Enoch walked with God, and it was a lot easier back then because, you know, he was only, you know, the seventh from Adam, so everybody was still really godly. But that's not the way it turned out. Because by the time Moses came along, which was only three generations later, the whole earth, it says Noah. But time Noah came along, the thoughts of men were continually wicked. So much so that he destroyed every living person except eight. But the fact that he saved eight gives us hope. There's always a remnant. God saves. You think Noah wasn't a sinner? You darn right he was. You don't think he was just as ungodly as these other men were? Yeah. But the Bible says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Hallelujah. If you find yourself in this situation, cry out, asking Lord, Lord, I don't even know if I have any faith. Oh, let him ask of God, and he giveth to all men liberally. Amen. Even saints, Lord, increase my faith. I want to walk with you. Enoch walked with God, and by faith he was translated. I don't know if I want to walk like that. Lord, help my water so that I do want to. Amen. Well, let's pray.